This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Letiwe, good evening and welcome to the show.
So, Manasfiso, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Oh, your voice is sounding as bad as mine as it was sounding this morning in terms of flu. I'm hoping that it's not this flu that's going around that's gotten your voice a little bit scratchy.
No, it just naturally sounds the same.
Sorry. Pardon me. Let's get into the conversation around small businesses and particularly, I think, in terms of starting at your guys' reflection on the latest unemployment numbers that have come out. Particularly as well, then double clicking into implications on SMEs.
Absolutely. So as Youth Capital, we celebrate the 1% decrease in the unemployment rate. However, we see the win from a sober point of view. So we are cautiously optimistic about the decrease because we recognize that the youth unemployment rate is still high. We have 9.1 million young people across the youth bracket who are not in employment, education, or training. There are still systematic challenges that young people face on their journey to becoming economically productive. And therefore, a lot of work is still ahead of us before we can get to a place where the youth unemployment rate is not so high.
Sure. And I mean, I think, talking about cautious optimism, is really, I think, what most people are feeling at this point in time, because it seems like the numbers don't really reflect the feeling on the ground. And I think that is the part where people are, they're positively responding to the numbers, but just really getting onto the ground and looking at the sentiment on the ground, it doesn't really feel like SMEs are also, I think, on a good footing or on a better footing at this point in time in terms of the role they can play in terms of job creation.
We have released a report, and I encourage your listeners to go onto Youth Capital's website to see the report titled Bridging the Gap, Finding the Right Young Hire. From that, from the engagements that we had with small business and micro enterprise owners, we realized just the many challenges that they experience in trying to play a role in employing young people. We noted that they are eager to employ young people. However, there are many challenges that they face. So for example, we learned that SMEs, small, medium enterprises say that there's a mismatch in terms of skills that they're looking for and the skills that young people have, not only just the hard technical skills, but even the soft skills. Many young people may not be aware of the need for them to be punctual, for example, or behave in a particular way in the workplace. Secondly, we learned that although there may be incentives that exist, for instance, the employment tax incentive, many of the SMEs owners are not aware of the options available to them and also how to access them because of the red tape surrounding those incentives. And I think just one last challenge that we learned from listening to small medium enterprise owners is that they don't have the capacity, the human resource capacity, to scan through many applications that young people may submit for any job opportunities they may have. And so in order for small, medium, micro enterprises to play a meaningful role, in order for their potential to be realized as employers, we need to look at what are these challenges. We need to listen to small business owners, understand what are the gaps in order for them to really play that meaningful role.
And I mean, one of the things, of course, that are coming through, even in this report that you guys did do, bridging the gap and finding the right young employer, you spoke about a scarcity of challenge number five, a scarcity of trade skills and experience. And really, I think, is an interesting one around TVET colleges, and particularly in how they play a role in particularly certain types of trades and artisanal skills development, and how they've also been relegated into kind of suboptimal learning institutions that are actually very good pipeline contributors, particularly at an SME level.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've started doing work to understand the experience of young people at TVET colleges to help them recognize that the skills that they're acquiring are skills needed in the job market, specifically by small business owners. And so I think what's needed there is a coordination between TVET colleges so that there's a clear, the pipeline that you refer to is very clear, where a young person who has received an engineering qualification can go straight into a manufacturing small business and apply the skills that they acquired there. If these two entities are in communication with each other, if there's a clear structure that allows for that transition, then, you know, we'll definitely see the value of our TVET colleges in terms of providing the necessary skills in the market.
It is 21 minutes after 7 o'clock, Power Listener. We continue our conversation with this lady who is not Dumongosi, coming from Youth Capital, who is a network mobilizer there. And just, of course, early reflections on the latest unemployment numbers, and also just getting into kind of the SME context and listening better to the SME insofar as then they can also support employment outcomes in the context of South Africa. And coming out of, and you know, she did say that when you do have a minute, just go to their website, and they do have the report called Bridge the Gap, and it is really around, you know, finding the right young hire. And in that report, there's a whole lot of things I think that they do research there, and then really I think giving us a sense around the state of the SME insofar as employment outcomes as well. From a recruitment point of view, and I'm going to bring you back into the conversation, Sisletiwe, 47% of the recruits are happening via word of mouth, and only 40% are happening via LinkedIn, 33% via WhatsApp, 31% via Facebook and Instagram, 18% other, 16% via PNET, and then 13% are via recruitment agencies. This is an interesting development for me in terms of, you know, we often think that, the amount of time spent with job search, etc., is the thing that's going to give these employment outcomes, but it's clearly not.
It is definitely. I mean, what we learned is that SMEs, due to the fact that they do not have human resource capacity, they may not have a designated person responsible for recruitment, they rely a lot on referrals. So that's why word of mouth came out really strongly, because they rely on someone they know who will then refer them to a young person that they can employ and who can be vetted, therefore. And so it is important from that understanding to support SMEs in terms of connecting them to youth organizations, because the thing about word of mouth is that although it does prove to be effective in terms of finding the right young person who's been vetted, it might lead to other young people not getting their foot in the door. And so I guess the way in which to ensure that as many young people get a chance to be considered would be for there to be a relationship between small businesses and youth development organizations. We work with many young people. We can then vet and say these young people have the skills needed by the small business, but also have the soft skills, the attributes needed by the small business for, you know, a young person who can add to the productivity of the business.
And I mean, also one of the things that does come out in the report is around incentives could be a lot more accessible. Is the issue accessibility around these incentives, or just maybe a knowledge gap?
So it's definitely an issue of there being red tape for SMEs, for small businesses to access these incentives, but also equally important, we realize that these incentives need to be tailored, right? So for instance, the employment tax incentive needs to be tailored for SMEs and not just for big corporates. And for that tailoring to happen, there needs to be an intentional conversation with SMEs to understand how can these incentives actually work for you. Once the red tape has been removed, how can existing incentives, how can this funding from CETA work? You know, an SME may not be able to do the paperwork required like a big corporate company. So how can we make those adjustments to make sure that one, the small business is able to access these incentives, but also these incentives actually work for the small business.
And I mean, I think this is, you know, the point you're making is actually, you know, been a burning question, I think, generally for the DTIC in terms of how they've designed the incentive structures. Certainly, I think where many people have cried that those incentive structures haven't been fit for purpose, they haven't been tailored enough, and they haven't understood. All right, you know, around the, you know, what it needs to do to truly, I think, have the right level of efficacy. And, you know, when I was looking at this particular report, you know, 1 out of 10 businesses have accessed the employment tax intensive tax incentive. 2 out of 10 businesses have utilized, you know, the youth employment service. You know, 2 out of 10 of those businesses have been able to access CETA funding as well, and 3 have been able to leverage the BBB policy to hire young people. Really, I think, again, that really giving us a sense around just the extent to which incentives at this point in time, one, either don't speak to SMEs or haven't been accessible. And then to the last point as well, when you're talking about qualifying criteria could meet SMEs halfway, tell us a little bit more about that particular pressure point.
So I guess it's just once again that need for the adjustment in terms of what SMEs need to do to qualify for those incentives and what SMEs are also willing to do to stand a chance to qualify. And you know what came as surprising is the understanding of the kind of supports that SMEs believe young people need to receive in order for them to be hosted by them. So for example, SMM is recognizing that young people need psychosocial support. So they need monthly check-ins to check on their mental health. So if they're not able to do that themselves, then there needs to be other structures that can provide that support. And in doing so, then you know, they are able to access the incentive. So it's really just shifting the way we think about how SMEs can be positioned to qualify for the incentives, not having that blanket approach.
And I mean, I guess what are the SMEs, mostly lamenting about other in terms of the things that are, becoming kind of high costs of compliance or qualification for those things for them?
It's definitely a matter of just the time required, you know, and the cost attached to that. You know, those are the points that were being said repeatedly during the focus group discussions, as well as through the survey that we ran. So just the time needed to follow the steps for getting the incentives and the cost attached to that as well. I mean, what I want to stress that SMEs are not the same like in terms of size. So some are ran by one person, others are run for, you know, by just over 10 people, and so the issue of how much time the time capital is a big thing. And so if those considerations can be made, you know, then I think we'll be able to untap the potential that SMEs have to employ young people and contribute to the reduction of the youth unemployment rate in our country.
Sure. And I mean, certainly, I think also in the report, you guys do also talk about exploring opportunities to bringing, you know, kind of SME capacity building into current educational programs in high schools as well, to ensure that certainly I think we do start to build capacity for people to be able to run their own enterprises as they go through, you know, their learning journeys as well. But Sisletiwe, thank you very much and wishing you a lovely evening further.
Thank you so much, Fiso.
Power listener, that was Sisletiwe Sinodumongosi, who is a network mobilizer at Youth Capital. And of course, I think one, just really reflecting on some of the insights that have come out of their report, you know, from Youth Capital. It is called Bridging the Gap and Finding the Right Young Hire. Really, I think starting to listen more to SMEs around what are their pressure points, what are the things that they need, what are the things they're struggling with. And so certainly, I think it's always good, I think, to find all of these baseline research pieces. And yeah, in the study, they say between 2016 and 2019, SMEs were creating more than 1,800 jobs per day. That's really, I think, in essence, really, I think, the context of the SME. Only still contributing about 32, I think, odd percent to our GDP. But certainly, I think it is a sector, a cluster of companies that we ought to support to make sure it contributes a hell of a lot more to our GDP.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.